Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, back here in the fourth and final hour of OMF today. It's been a wild day down in Washington, and we've also talked a little bit about what's going on with the New England Patriots because the rats are running now. Nick Caserio is the new general manager of the Houston Texans. I don't know why he's taking the gig, but so be it. And he may not be the end of this for New England. They may lose more people along the way. So what the hell's going on here? What's happening?
So you think the rats kind of, you think that we're using rats. Nick's a great guy. You think the rats are leaving the ship because they know it's going down and there is no rescue.
So like right now,
they're never going to be the same.
So right now, the reputation of the New England Patriots over the years has been tremendous for people within the organization. If you're a coordinator or whatever, you get a head coaching job. Matt Patricia, you get a coaching job. You know, Eric Mangini, you get a coaching job. Josh McDaniels, you get a... They all get jobs because of the reputation of the New England Patriots. So if the New England Patriots go through a rough 2 or 3 years, and Bill Belichick's not leaving, he's going to be around here, so it's not like they're going to move up any higher in this organization, then wouldn't you look at it and say, you know what? I've got a timeline here, and I better move on this, or I'm going to run out of time, and then we're not going to be viewed. New England Patriot employees are not going to be viewed as the creme de la creme.
Well, I mean, look at the amount of people that have left, you know, this organization. You know, the coaching staff is one thing. He lost the kid, the guy Monty Austin Fort, right? He went to Tennessee, whatever. He's a college scouting guy. Caserio, Ziegler might be gone too in Denver. The guy that's right behind Caserio that you thought maybe would take over. Listen, Elway might want to hire him. He might be gone. A lot of the coaches. And name another organization. Like, if you are a middle-class organization, are you getting those opportunities? Like, you know what I mean? If you're a 7-9, 8-8 team, like, how many front office people are leaving Detroit getting better jobs elsewhere? You know, or leaving other organizations that haven't been successful getting jobs elsewhere, making more money, furthering their careers. And the reality is the New England Patriots for the next probably 3 years are a 7-9, 9-7 team. So you take the opportunity when you can, and that is obvious with what Caserio is doing, because that is not a good situation down in Houston at all. You got a great quarterback. That's probably all you've got. That's it.
Yeah, but I feel like, I mean, that's 90% of the battle. I mean, if you can fill, if that void is already filled, the rest I think is easy. I guess they're easier. I mean, like, did Buffalo have a good team? Sure. Did Jacksonville? Buffalo has. What would be the difference between Buffalo and Jacksonville? Buffalo is going to be able to sustain it. Jacksonville never could and never was, because Blake Bortles was not anywhere close to what he should have been. So he's handing the ball off. They give him his extension, his fifth-year extension. I think it was his fifth-year extension. And they end up getting rid of him. But if they had a better quarterback, they would have been able to continually fill the voids of guys or free agents that would have left, because the quarterback was still going to be there.
No, but the thing is that I look at Nick Caserio, and I don't think people down in Houston are very excited.
No, they're not.
About bringing in Caserio. And you want a fan base excited about a new coach. You know, we're talking about Urban Meyer maybe in Jacksonville, right? Excited about a new head coach, like a guy like Urban Meyer, or just the unknown or the hope of a front office guy from another organization that has been successful. Houston's, I think he goes there with a short leash because Houston's tired. Like, Houston fans, they don't want another guy from the Patriots. They really don't. They're done with it. So if you, you go to an organization where you can't afford a short leash, you have no money to spend in free agency, you got no first-round pick this year, you got no first-round or second-round pick next year. Like, you don't have the draft to kind of improve your team. You don't have the money to improve your team. And those people down there don't have the patience to watch another Patriot guy come on down here and not win right away. He won't have five or six years to do what he needs to do.
Yeah, it's not like you're giving him a full tank of gas. It's like you're expecting him to get to the same destination without the same amount of
and bad tires.
Assets. Yeah,
and a bad
so,
engine.
So I get it. Like, so all these, like, Miami, New York, you know, the you know, they've drafted, or even Cleveland, all these teams that built up over years a lot of draft capital. They have lots of picks. Like, they didn't sell out. They didn't make bad decisions that would affect them over the next 2 years. I agree with you. I don't think he's going to get a long leash. And God forbid he brings in a Bill Belichick, like, you know, assistant head coach to be the head coach. So you go from Bill O'Brien.
Josh McDaniels.
To Josh McDaniels. I can easy, I can see them doing a Brian Daboll, which is still, technically, he is a Bill Belichick guy, but he's far enough removed from Bill and has had success at other programs, other coaches, where you don't think you're going to get this carbon copy. I mean, Nick Casario, for as good as he's been, as much as he's paid his dues, like the thing that I think is going to go against him, at least in that town, is one, he's going to be judged by his mistakes and picks, right? The other one is, like, he looks and he sounds like Bill. I had never seen a guy that's been in that organization that sounds more like Bill than Bill, other than his sons. The tone, the mannerisms, the way he talks, how he talks, what he tells you, how he tells you, what he's telling you. It's almost, you just don't want it. You know, you want Mike Vrabel. You know, that's who you want. You want a guy that has that pedigree but isn't a carbon copy, because you don't go to this team with the resume and credibility that Bill does.
See, we talked so much about the quarterback, and we were into it in the last hour, quarterback, team game, or whatever. Houston Texans have a legitimate franchise quarterback. Would you call him top five?
Yes.
Maybe he's five, six, seven.
Hey, right. Yeah, we made that mistake before they played him.
Exactly.
And after he played against the Patriots, like, oh, my God.
So that's where he is. Yet you have all sorts of issues with that team. You've got culture stuff. You talk about J.J. Watt and the speech that he gave at the end of the season. I mean, there's no question they have major issues with that franchise. And then, as you pointed out, Lou, they don't have draft picks over the next 2 years. They're giving everybody up. They're way over the cap. And if the cap number drops to 175, 185, they're going to have to shed off all of these good players. It is a disastrous place to go. I don't see McDaniels going there, and I don't see them bringing.
You know what's amazing? Like that Houston Texan team was 4-12, right? 4-12, and Deshaun Watson had the second highest rating in football with 112.
What does that say?
He had 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and a completion percentage of 70%. Like, arguably, should be an MVP candidate. Like, he really should be. Like, off the charts type numbers, and his team was 4-12. Like, how is that even possible? And he lost DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Like, off the charts, and you're a 4-12 team.
Yeah.
So I guess you could say, well, I've got the quarterback, but the rest of it, you know, is a complete mess right now. And you're going to need to get past these next couple of years where you don't have a first-round pick in the next 2 years. You don't have a second-round pick, you know, next year or whatever it is, and to kind of, okay, give me year three. Can you be patient with me to try to turn it around, to show you some progress year three? Maybe year four. And you think he's going to have that kind of leash there? I just don't. I really don't. And I think that's why. But hey, listen, I don't blame him. I give him credit. You know, I really do, because he could have very easily sat here. This is the cushionest job in the league as far as being a GM for the New England Patriots. You get paid probably decent, really good money. Probably not as much as he is right now. I understand that, but still good money. And no matter what happens bad, you never get blamed for it. Granted, you don't get any credit for if it goes well, but the last five drafts, no one's blaming Nick Casario. Well, everyone's blaming Bill. The personnel, we're not blaming agents. Nick Caserio, we're blaming Bill.
See, I just looked it up. They get free agents, too. Will Fuller, unrestricted free agent. Kenny Stills, unrestricted free agent. Vernon Hargreaves, unrestricted free agent. Wow.
Because you know what you end up doing in those situations? You end up just getting what you can afford. So it's never really, you know, good picks, you know, because you just can't afford anything. You're 2 years away from starting over. And I'm actually not surprised. None of us should be surprised because the Texans, whether it be ownership or Jack Easterby or even Bill O'Brien when he was there, wanted Nick Caserio. Like, remember, they tried to get him. They had the whole ring ceremony. There was tampering charges filed. I mean, they were not happy. The owner of the Texans had to you know, write a letter saying, hey, I'm sorry for trying to poach your guys. But then Bill O'Brien gets fired. All these crazy stories come out about Jack Easterby, the preacher man. And they still get Nick Caserio.
I tell you
who's
what,
hiring Nick Caserio, anyways?
Easterby.
Sounds like Easterby is.
Easterby's hiring him.
It sounds
Easterby,
like it.
Easterby is. It's going to be a great movie.
A life
the Jack
coach.
Easterby story comes out because he is convinced that owner.
How he duped everybody.
Yeah,
minister of the Latter Day Saints or whatever he is.
All you need to know is that the Houston Texans they hired a search firm, all right, to try to find candidates for their GM job. That firm came back with five possible candidates. Nick Caserio was not one of them. So that you hire a firm to find the best candidates for the GM of your team, Caserio's name was not on that list.
But you know what that was.
And
the
that's who they hired.
That. The owner did that, and Jack Easterby convinced the owner that he's got the guy.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what I mean?
Unbelievable.
You spend the cash to hire this firm to find the best candidates. I think Louis Riddick was actually one of them. There's some other guys on that list. But and they come back and you say, thank you very much. I'm going to hire Nick Caserio, who wasn't on this list that we just paid you cash to go find.
What? I got to tell you, this Jack Easterby, the more and more you hear about him, he really is able to convince a lot of people. Certainly that owner down there, the guy had no personnel experience whatsoever. Remember Belichick mentioned it the week of the Houston game when somebody asked him about Jack Easterby, and he said, hey, he's not a personnel guy. You know, he had none of that, and he's worked his way up to president of that organization. It is amazing to me that has happened. Lombardi kind of jokes about that. Remember we had Lombardi on a few weeks? He was joking.
Well,
a lot of people do.
So, I mean, so when I see this, like when I woke up this morning, I was just like, it's like it not – was it going? It was going to be a tough, difficult task for Bill to rebuild this team because there is a residual effect, right? When you're so aggressive and you go all in from 2014 to 2018, I'm going to throw in 2019.
Stop it.
When you know there is going to be a residual effect.
He signed low value free agents. Christ's sakes.
I'm kidding. Okay. The point.
Don't get me going.
It's. I know. I just poked you a little bit. The fact
honestly,
is that
I don't know how we could be any more aggressive than we were for the last 5 years.
Okay. He was. So I do believe that with what's happening right now, with the guys that are leaving, the from coaches to evaluators to personnel to players, with all these guys leaving, it could not come at a worse time for Bill. Like, this is the worst possible thing. You wake up in the morning and Nick Caserio's gone, but you probably had an idea, but maybe, you know, you had an idea of, you know, coaxing him into state, kind of like you did Josh McDaniels. You're going to show him a whole new world. You're going to tell him everything that he always wanted to hear, right? And then you're going to probably lose, it seems like, his backup, Dave Ziegler, who is probably going to be promoted. There's a lot of buzz about him right now. And you could lose some coaches. You could flat out – because let's just say that Brian Daboll gets a job somewhere. Let's say he gets a job. He's a head coach somewhere. Maybe he wants to bring some of the players, some of the coaches on the staff right now, so it's not Josh McDaniels getting a head job poaching some players. Or maybe Brian Flores wants to now. He's a couple years removed. He wants to grab some of those. Maybe he wants Jerod Mayo. Maybe Brian Daboll wants him. Maybe Nick Caserio really likes Jerod Mayo. He helped draft him. And he wants him to be a coach. He wants to be a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, every year you have this new group of names, and Daboll is one of those guys right now. Why? Because they're looking at him and seeing what he did with his quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's all about what you did with your quarterback. So I agree. If Daboll's going to take a job, this is the job to take. But what can he really do for the quarterback down in Houston? It's the rest of the team that sucks. The quarterback is great. And that's so unusual to have a quarterback that is a top five quarterback in the league.
Top three, maybe this year.
Maybe. And your team is nowhere close to the playoffs?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to be a complete train wreck down there, guys.
But getting back to, like, you know, Bill's going to need all hands on deck this offseason. This is a rebuild that he's never had to have before.
No, this is the toughest he's ever had.
This is like, even when he joined the Patriots, he had better players on his roster than he does right now. He had Drew Bledsoe. He had a lot of those defensive players that were great Patriots, right, that were on that roster at that time.
He also had access to Jets players and Giants players that were free agents that came aboard.
And he's walking into an offseason to where some colleges, you know, some played a full season, some played six games, some didn't play at all. Players opted out. And, you know, now not only have you lost a lot of coaches in the last, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 years, now you're starting to lose a lot of front office personnel guys, and you're walking into an offseason that is going to be extremely difficult, not just because given your own situation and the spots that you need to fill, but, you know, evaluating a draft on players that, you know, not many of them maybe were out there that often, or some not at all.
Okay, so here's kind of an interesting thing when you talk about that. We all know you got to get a quarterback, whether it's a bridge guy, whether it's your guy for the future, whatever, you need a quarterback. There's a lot of talk that Miami now, that'll be drafting number 3, may go and draft another quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Do they not have enough faith that Tua is their guy? So they figure maybe we get a better chance if we get Tua and then we draft somebody like Zach Wilson, who, by the way, is moving up in that list right now. He's the hot commodity today.
That
all
makes
subject
no sense
to change.
That makes
Miami
absolutely no
goes
sense
for a quarterback.
Well, then, if you're hearing that rumor, the other rumor you should probably hear along with it is that the Miami Dolphins are thinking about moving Tua, because that's a Josh Rosen situation, if I've ever seen one.
Okay, so let's
you don't
bring
keep
that let's,
both of them.
So let's bring that up, that possibility. If you're in New England, are you interested?
No. Because this guy was drafted. What was he? Third overall.
Everybody.
Again, it is about, like, I am not interested for the Patriots right now to kind of give up the kind of capital that we need to go get a guy like Tua, you know, where you don't know what he's going to be, you know, you have no idea, but you're gonna give up. What's it going to take to get Tua? The guy just went third overall. You don't think you got to give up 15 to get him?
Oh,
you don't think
no
you got to give that up?
There's no question. You're,
okay,
you're
you want to go? You want to? Did you want to take Tua right now? You've seen him. I think he could be good. Who knows? He's a rookie.
No, I think
you
want to
give up 15 right now and put all your eggs in Tua moving forward? I don't.
No. And as a matter of fact, I know I think we all kind of agree based on yesterday that, because I don't think they're even going to take a quarterback in the first round.
Because it may be the sixth quarterback on the list.
But
or fifth.
Glenn, I don't even think if they had the third best quarterback, I don't think they'd take him. I don't think they would. I don't. I think in order for Bill to kind of rebuild this team and go from 7-9 to a contending team, he's got to build it from the defense. He's got to start on the defensive side of the football. That is what he's good at. That's what he's won at. If you go back to the very beginning, it's always been a defensive-minded ideology that exists with him. How he builds a team, what he thinks is important, what he's good at coaching at. Like, nobody has ever said, hey, let's use Bill Belichick's offensive game plan from Super Bowl, you know, 30, whatever. Like, nobody does that. You know what they do? And nobody's stealing from the Patriots' offense a philosophy. No, you know what they're stealing from? Even the best coaches, they'll steal from Bill and what he does defensively, of how he attacks blitzes, of how he you know, changes things up on the fly, you know, how he views blitzes and packages. That is what he does. I'm convinced of it because I think that he knows he has better odds of hitting in the first round with a defensive player because he's done it a lot. Like, he's done it a ton on the defensive side of the ball, not so much on the offensive side of the football. So if you're going to get one of those franchise-type players, start building from the inside out on the defensive side, not on the offense, and then stack the deck with a veteran-ish type player with some playing history that needs to be recalibrated, readjusted, and that is how you do it.
Yeah,
recalibrated.
That's all
like
I think. That is how I think.
Listen,
I
totally agree, and I said this yesterday. I just don't see Bill drafting a quarterback at number 15. Matter of fact, if 5 quarterbacks go off the board, or let's say 4 go off the board, and one of them of those top 5 are available at 15, and maybe 2 wide receivers go off the board, That's like six or seven players that have gone off the board that are already taking you deep into the depth chart of those positions. You're probably going to have really good players at other positions because teams were so desperate for quarterback. So if you're not desperate for quarterback and you're looking at a defensive player, aren't you going to get a higher quality player with much less risk?
Well, the other thing is you know, there's a chance that five quarterbacks could be gone by the time you pick. There's also a chance that three wide receivers are going to be gone by the time you pick. It's a good chance a tight end could be gone by the time you pick, right? I mean, you're talking about 9 of the 15 being offensive players. And there's a good chance it's probably going to be two, maybe three offensive linemen taken if you look at some of these mock drafts. So you're going to be sitting there at 15 with arguably the second or third best defensive player on the board. So I would agree. Given where you are right now at 15, I don't see you diving in and getting a quarterback. Now, again, goes back to the discussion. Maybe if you're 8 or 9, maybe it's a different story. You know, maybe it's easier to jump to 5 or 6 and maybe get a guy you absolutely love. But I don't see it happening. I mean, as much as I would like to see them move all the way up, it probably is not the smartest move because this roster is so far away from competing. And I think Bill recognizes that he's not going to go to a championship-level team next year. He doesn't have the roster. So how do I build this thing slowly? What's the best way for this team right now to be competitive next year is to do what you just talked about, build up my defense, have that defense better, bring in a guy like, my guy, and apparently Mitchell Trubisky, someone like that, but you still got to get some offensive weapons, though. You still got to go out and do that somehow to just sort of build this thing and turn yourself maybe into a 9-7 borderline playoff team next year. You could possibly do that. But I don't see that huge.
Yeah,
jump.
I think if the quarterback comes in, it's going to be a cheap quarterback. It's going to be a rehabilitation process and a cheap quarterback. He's just not going to spend at that position unless it's a guy he thinks can do it immediately. And I don't know, can Matthew Stafford do it immediately? Can he suddenly take you from a 7-9 team to a 10 or 11 win team? I don't know. Can he?
Yeah, I just Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, can he?
Oh yeah, know. Yeah, sure he can.
You think he can?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we talked about Jameis Winston and the Bucks. Like, how many wins over replacement was Brady? And what did they end? They were 11-5, right where they should be.
Four
wins above replacement, which is what they were 4 wins better with Tom Brady. So if you have Cam Newton and you're 7-9, and you give me any top 12 quarterback, you're winning 3 more games at least. Because coaching alone, almost all by itself, gave you 7 wins. 7 wins with that quarterback and that personnel. Now imagine if you got somebody who can actually throw the football, drive the football down the field, isn't tentative, can still run. You got yourself 3 more wins. Brady gives you 4, okay, with that all that group. But I sit there and go, all right. Think about all the draft picks, and even when I'm saying it out loud, I sit there and go, well, he's had some pretty good offensive ones, Gronk and Aaron Hernandez and Deion Branch and Solder and Matt Light. And then you look at the defensive guys. You look at those guys, and you look at the Richard Seymours, the Ty Warrens, the Vince Wilfork's of the world. You look at the Jarvis Greens.
I tell you what, there is one position defensively that I'd like for him to stay away from, and that's
wide receiver.
Corner, defensively. Corner. I'll give you this. So we talk about the last 5 years in the drafts. These are 3 second round picks he's taken in the second round of the draft. Cyrus Jones, Duke Dawson, and Juwan Williams. These are second round corners. Second round corners he has taken.
When you question somebody's judgment, that means you think you know more than they do.
He made it up though with J.C. Jackson. I think he made it up clearly with J.C. Jackson.
Why can't you hit on a corner in a second?
Malcolm Butler.
Why can't you hit on a second round pick and still have Malcolm Butler and J.C. Jackson?
Well, you can, but we can say that about any team.
If you fail a second round pick, and you get a free agent signing that makes up for it, failed the second round pick.
But you see this all the time. Teams do.
I understand that. I'm just saying the last three corners he picked can't play in the league.
Yes,
in the second.
Well,
round,
they are playing.
Fourth,
believe it or not,
fifth,
they are playing.
Second round. Yeah. That's awful.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that to me is what I think is really interesting. You're losing all these generals and captains and guys who really you really relied on for such a long period of time, and there was a nice little relationship going on, and you're getting older, you're the head coach, and suddenly everybody leaves at once when you need them the most, when changing things is at its most difficult time. That, to me, this what he's going to go through with these draft picks and all the free agents and how he's going to have to somehow fix it, I think this is one of the toughest off seasons for him in a long, long time.
Listen, I think it's fascinating. Then, and he has all of this money to deal with, and yet with all of the money, I think a lot of calls are going to come in the next couple of months of people sitting there saying, you know what he needs to do? He needs to go and get this free agent and pay a fortune. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He's going shopping, and he's going into a zillion different stores, and he's buying this and buying that and buying that. The turnover in this roster, I think, is going to be dramatic. How many Pro Bowl players do they have in this team right now? How many?
Gilmore.
Gunner. Gunner's going to be a Pro Bowl player.
Zero.
Jake Bailey. Whatever. He returns punts and doesn't play. He's a wide receiver. I know special teams is great, and it's definitely worth
something.
No, he's
going to make Pro Bowl as a special teams player.
Yeah, I know. Said, yeah. And great, you've got Matthew Slater, too. Is that awesome?
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. It is great to have one of the better special teams units in the league. But on the other hand, if your offense and your passing offense is like 30th in the league, it's not so good. That makes
up for a lot. If your Pro Bowlers are your special teams in Gunner, Matthew Slater, and Jake Bailey, like, you're not a good football team.
So I agree with Christian, and I think that's going to piss people off. If Bill spends a lot of that offseason capital on building up that defense, because you know what people are looking at. Your defense was okay. What were where were they in points given up this year? You said it the other day, Lou. What was it, 7th or something like that in the league?
They were actually 7th in the league in points against.
Right, which is amazing because they didn't seem like they thought. I thought they were good, but not that good. And yet,
you could run right through them. You ran the ball. Teams could run all over you.
Yeah, you
so guess
pass
what? Tick,
them.
Tick, 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 yeah. Tick. The clock kept ticking.
Right.
Right, so you shorten a bunch of games, and that's why you're 21. Right. 21 points a game.
Okay, other than the quarterback position, which side of the ball has more issues?
Oh, offense. Not even close, but you're right, Christian. I think he's going to build with defense, and I think people are going to get a little angry when he's out there spending money on free agents that are on the defensive side of the ball.
Where does he have most of the issues? I mean, it's really both sides of the ball, because I could come right back and say, hit their front seven is embarrassing. Like, it really is. Especially if Lawrence Guy goes out and made some money this season with the way he played and signs a deal somewhere else. Like, their front seven is pathetic. You know, so, yeah, their wide receivers and tight ends are bad, too. But, I don't know, is their front seven that much better?
Yeah, that's why I just think that's going to be – I feel like, you know, 60% of this roster is going to be overhauled. 60% of it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, if you improve your defensive line, right,
and
you
get an edge rusher, a
couple of tackles,
that's what they'll do.
It'll make your linebackers look better, correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, defensive line is probably one area, a huge area of need to go with veteran tight end and wide receiver group.
And who knows? He likes those hybrids. We saw it with Duggar. We saw it this year with Phillips. Yeah. So he likes those type of players. I wouldn't be surprised if you get more of those guys. But I think we're going to spend a lot of shows sitting here talking about why aren't they getting that wide receiver, the big-name wide receiver. You know, the big-name wide receiver's out there, and Bill is not even taking a sniff. And I don't think he is. I don't think he's going to do that. I think you're going to get guys in here, wide receivers, that, again, will be value.
I'd be amazed if they drafted a wide receiver, period, to be honest with you. I feel like you wasted one, and it's not anywhere near what you thought it was going to be, and you wasted it. I wouldn't even say you wasted. You just used those picks up. Like, you tried to identify a position that you could not worry about for the next 5 years, and you're worrying about it the year after.
But you could say that about
a lot of money to the offensive side of the football in the draft.
I know. And you could say that about, like I said, the defensive side of the ball. You know, those three corners that I just mentioned you drafted. You know, if one of them was any good, maybe you don't have to spend the money on Jason McCourty. Right? So I don't think you just, and as bad as they are at wide receiver, like, I wouldn't object if they took one that third round, fourth round. I'm not saying first. First, I don't know. Hell, maybe that first round. Would you be pissed off if they drafted a kid Waddle out of Alabama?
No.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there you go.
You know what I would be pissed off about? Mac Jones, the quarterback at Alabama.
You don't like him.
That's the guy. No. It's Look at his Alabama quarterbacks.
Yeah, he's got better receiving cores than the Patriots have right now.
Easily. Yeah.
One guy won the Heisman, and the other guy everybody thought was much better than him when the season started, and still a great wide receiver.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's like all those, even Tua. That was my issue with Tua.
How many tight throws are there?
When your receiver wins every single battle, and some of them are not even close, I mean, you don't have to be accurate, or it's easy to be accurate.
Look at his line. They're all going to be top draft picks.
It's not even close. Like, have a defensive tackle, though. They have a defensive lineman who is pretty damn big and pretty damn good, and that's who I think they're going to get. I think they need a Ty Warren, Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, one of those guys that needs to be, like, you know, in the middle guy, forever.
That's there for 8 or 10 years.
Not
that's exactly
sexy. Nobody really knows who he is.
So if you're drafting
that high, for Malcolm Brown, they've done it a lot.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brown just wasn't, nobody's really excited. He didn't really pan out.
No, but that's what they've done when they've drafted first-round defensive tackles, back-to-back.
Wait, do you think Malcolm Brown is a bust?
He was here. It's all that matters to me.
Where he was drafted.
I know, but it's like, okay,
we always rate them on where they're
drafted. If you're a first-round pick, do you have to be an all-pro and a pro bowler?
No. So if it's not a hit, it's not a bust, what would you call it?
He played out his contract. He started. You didn't have to worry about it. He wasn't, transcending.
How could a first-round pick that didn't get a second contract not be considered a bust?
That's a good point. He's done.
He's just a guy.
He didn't get a contract with you.
Where was he drafted, though, in the first round?
I didn't say he was a stud.
Yeah, see, that's the problem.
Still a first-round draft pick.
It's barely.
Top 30 draft pick.
He's not even close to being a bust.
I mean, Christian brought this up the other day.
Then what is
Sonny
Michel?
When they have drafted
he's not a bust either.
When they have drafted him in the top 15, look at the success that they have had. And, by the way, all defensive players. Right?
Yeah, but see, that's such a pass. Oh, my God. If you don't draft in the top 15, you're not supposed to hit on a guy. He drafted Dominique Easley the year before he drafted Malcolm Brown.
That was a bust.
This is not the NBA. Top 15.
I mean, holy smokes. Yeah, this isn't the NBA.
But no, he was drafted 29, so it doesn't really count.
First, second, third round pick should play for you. They should play for you. They should be good players. And they have done an awful
job. Was hurt, too,
back-to-back first round picks, busts. Awful. Awful. It's the reason why you had to go spend money at the tackle, which is why you are where you are. So you can say whatever the hell you want, but that's a good reason why.
Okay. So we all agree defensive player. That's where Bill drafts at 15.
Most likely, yes.
Should we throw another board up there? What are we doing?
Throw another board up. You got another board? Throw another board
up. List.
All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The show that's open weekdays 2 to 6 for Patriots fans. It's OMF on EEI.
But both sides expect that it will take them to a different place and a different direction in 2021 with Cam Newton likely moving on and the Patriots in search of a new quarterback for next season.
There was a report on ESPN today that there's an understanding between you and Cam Newton that you'll be going in different directions this offseason.
Yeah. Well, is that another one of your anonymous reports?
That was from Adam Schefter.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Adam said. Great question. Thank you.
ESPN's Adam Schefter.
It was not a report. My little bit on Cam somehow got blown up into a report. Mm-hmm. It was never a report. How come the report wasn't Adam Schefter reports the relationship between Cam Newton and the sides is strong? It's on various websites that I'm reporting Cam is one and done. Like, I didn't report anything.
Both sides expect that it will take them to a different place.
It's not a report. This is just my informed opinion. And I didn't report that. How could I report that he's not expected back before they played their final? Like, I didn't report that.
Don't they have to have it like a disclaimer when Schefter does something like that? Remember when we had a disclaimer for you? And you get yourself into all sorts of trouble and the media
he needs
was
one
picking
of those.
Up
You're right.
Your account. He needs one of those disclaimers basically saying opinion, opinion, opinion.
Yeah.
This is just an opinion, an informed opinion. Well, what the hell is an informed opinion? An informed opinion is somebody has given you some information that allows you to formulate this opinion based on fact.
The views and comments related to any topic one person
opinion
the hours
of 10:30 a.m.
on WEEI 93.7 FM are the sole opinions of Christian Fourier.
It's me. Yeah, he can't say informed. First of all, even when he doesn't say informed, like we all kind of understand that anything that comes out of his mouth is an informed opinion. So if they put him on one of these panels, they say, hey, or they comes on a show and say, hey, how much money do you think Cam Newton can make? And he says $40 to $50 million for 2 years with incentives. Well, I mean, that one maybe just be his because that's the most ridiculous thing.
I don't think
any GM would actually say it. So I actually think that's his true opinion without talking to anybody. But everything he says is informed.
Yeah, I don't think he can hide behind that. What happened was he came out with it. He was told that. He came out with it probably a little prematurely.
Yep.
Maybe the source that told him that was like, dude, you know, I wasn't necessarily on the record. That was just more for your opinion type of thing, just to kind of hold. Like, it's not official yet. How dare you? So now he goes out and he tries to backtrack. But when he says informed opinion, who do you think informed him of it?
Somebody in the Patriots organization.
I mean, Jesus. I mean, it's Adam Schefter. You know, it wasn't some guy on the side of the street hanging out at Roach Brothers. You know what I mean? Like, it, whatever. Like, it's Adam Schefter, for God's sakes. Don't we sit there and say, you know, if it's an informed opinion from this guy, then it came from a very good source? So he can't hide behind that right now, even though he probably pissed off the person he talked to.
Well, and you could tell with Greg this morning, he was a little angry about it. He was a little pissed off.
Yeah, because he probably took some heat.
That's the part that, in my world, actually drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year or last year, one of the things that I was fortunate enough to get to do, ESPN included me on the Monday Night Countdown desk. And for 15 years in TV, I've been the information man, where they turn to you for reports, actual reports.
Man.
Reports that I file on Twitter or the ESPN news desk or Instagram or whatever it may be. Report. Per sources. On Sunday, Mort and I are offering our perspective on about 10 different quarterbacks. It's an end-of-the-year kind of thing where we rat-a-tat-tat in 15, 20 seconds each quarterback. My little bit on Cam somehow got blown up into a report. Mm-hmm. It was never a report. It was not a report.
SportsCenter, ESPN, their Twitter. It's still up there. It remains on their Twitter account. Cam Newton and the Patriots are expected to part ways after the season, per Adam Schefter.
It was not a report.
So Adam should be upset at his own employer.
37 million followers of that account.
Yeah, he should be upset at his employer because they made it a report.
Lou, he's so good at what he does. This is a compliment to him that he's such a good reporter when it comes to football stuff. There's nobody better in the business that when you tell us you have an informed opinion or you throw something out there, we're not going to know the difference.
It's really like a joke, you know, and I get it. It upsets him. But, you know, think of the report. He didn't come out and say, you know, it's my informed opinion that Bill Belichick will not be back next year. Like Cam Newton. Like, I think our reaction to his report that he's so upset about.
Not a report.
It was obvious to most people.
It's obvious.
Like, it wasn't even, like, newsworthy. I mean, because it came from him, it kind of was like, oh, I guess that makes it official. But it's always been kind of unofficial, I guess.
No, I think you hit it.
To be official.
I think you hit it. He got a call from somebody in the Patriot organization after he had a discussion. He went on the air with it, and they're basically saying, whoa, what are you doing here?
Right.
You know, it's,
we don't know how this offseason is going to shake up.
Exactly.
We have plans. Sure, he's option freaking right. P. You know, down the alphabet.
Right.
It was probably, but we don't know how this whole thing's going to shake out.
Yeah, I'm sure he had the conversation. Somebody probably said, yeah, he really can't throw the ball that well. Yeah, he's probably not going to be back with it. But they can't make that decision right now. There's no way they can. I want to play the other cut, though, from the Greg Hill Show today, where this one just floored us because he was talking about the possibility of Cam Newton coming back here or going to Washington.
You know, the going rate for quarterbacks, the top quarterbacks, has gotten to be about $35 million. I don't see him at that level. I think that he probably gets more in New England than he might anywhere else, maybe. The most natural spot for Cam would be Washington. That's the most natural spot if he's going to leave. Let's say Cam's on the free agent market. It reaches the market. Let's say nothing gets done with New England. Mm-hmm. Let's say he moves on. What would Washington pay him tomorrow? What would that contract look like?
Curtis.
I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess 2 years with incentives, $40 to $50 million.
Wow.
So you have $30 million worth of incentives?
Out of his mind.
Out of 2 years? Unlikely
out of
to
his
be
mind.
Earned? Is
out
that
of
what
his
we're
mind.
Doing
no,
right
and
now?
No, and they, it would be... You know, incentives that he couldn't reach, Christian, so it would look stupid. The contract would look stupid. This makes absolutely no sense, and we know he's an informed guy and really knows this stuff. And the other one is, why would Ron Rivera want him now when he didn't want him a year ago?
That
and
makes
he could have
feel
had
good because like makes you know that like you know, so we've all had really bad takes before, but
yes.
To know that Adam
yeah, this
Schefter
was really bad.
He's got really bad opinions out there. You just mentioned it. I mean, Ron Rivera left Carolina. He had an opportunity. He had, you know, quarterback questions in Washington.
And he knew
what
the player, Lou.
There.
He knew the player.
He knew Cam Newton, and he didn't want him. He brought the kid Allen, who was his backup with him. He didn't want anything to do with him. And to think that the most money he could make is here in New England? Like, and he's saying that he could get a deal for 2 years at 40 or 50? Like, the most he could get is in New England? I find that extremely hard to believe. And I don't know a team that can watch this guy on film and say, oh, yeah, he's my guy. Like, I want to pay that guy $20 million a year, you know, with incentives on top of it. Like, there's some stupid teams, some stupid coaches out there. I don't know if anyone's that stupid.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know if it's just because the season just ended and there's this residual effect, you know, like attached to Cam and based on just how he is on the radio.
Or even how it ended, the last thing you saw. It was pretty good.
No, I know, and I think that's
second
part
half,
of it.
Not the first
and
half.
That was
the second half.
But it doesn't matter what happened in the first half. It doesn't matter what happened in week 13 or week 14. The fact is the last image you have of Cam Newton is being productive and creating plays and throwing passes, catching passes,
research.
Running. Wow. Well, people are shallow. Fans are shallow. They're ignorant also, and they follow the laundry blindly. So if we tell them Cam Newton's good for them, they'll say, okay, good. This guy told me Cam Newton was good for me. They don't have the ability to see any. They're all like Wiggy. They're all like Fitzy. they don't get it. They just want whatever Bill says is best for them. Like, Lou, you say it all the time. If Bill serves you up a big steaming pot of poop, and then Bill tells you these Patriot fans, hey, listen, this is the best soup you've ever had in your life. They will be like, he's right.
That's
me.
That's good.
That's what he did with Stidham. And then when the season started, he looked at you and said, why are you eating poop?
But see, here's the sneaky part.
I don't know, Coach. I'm sorry.
See, here's the sneaky part. Like, Bill actually never said that. What he did is made sure, well, what it seems like to me, is that he made sure everybody knew that they loved Stidham, that he was the great. Oh, they love Stidham. That's like, it's so vague. They love everybody. Do they like him? Do they love him as a starting quarterback for 16 games? No. That was obvious.
But I know one thing for a fact, and that's the New England Patriots love Jared Stidham.
How credible is she now? Like, what are we doing
here?
No.
She doesn't mean fact. It's an informed opinion. She's not actually giving a fact.
Informed opinion.
ESPN clowns.
Two years with incentives, $40 to $50 million. I would say this. I thought they overpaid Marcus Mariota at $8 million to be a backup, and that was probably to light a fire with Derek Carr, right, in his ass.
Yeah, but I don't think
so. And that didn't work, by the way.
He was in a different situation. It was still technically under his rookie deal. Wait, no, he was a free agent.
No, he was a free agent. He got $8 million as a free agent. I'm not sure there's a team out there that's going to look at Cam Newton. So if Cam Newton, the best deal he could get last year, was guaranteed $500,000, you're going to have all these young quarterbacks that are going to be popping up, maybe five. We were just talking about this in the draft. You're probably going to have some movement of Sam Darnold and some other guys. And where is there a team out there for Cam Newton for 2 years and $40 and $50 million? Well, I mean, this is laughable.
We were talking before about, like, you know, the incentives. And you could put, like, the, what is it, unattainable? What is it called? What's the
unlikely
term?
To be earned.
Unlikely.
Yeah, you don't have to put them in escrow.
Unlikely to be earned. And you could do that with him because you could do it very
easily.
Win
the MVP.
Yeah. You know, you could say 9 touchdown passes. Last year he got 8. So you could say, very unlikely to be earned. I mean, he only had 8 last year. You could actually say 2,700 yards passing. You know, you could do that. How about, like, a quarterback rating above 82? You know, so, I mean, there are some things that you could put in there, you know, that are very easily that he could go after. It'd be good.
Yeah, I'm amazed.
If that's what Schefter is hearing on Cam Newton, on our, realistic quarterback wish list for 2021, we have Jameis Winston up there. We have Mitchell Trubisky up there. We have Jimmy Garoppolo up there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if that's what Cam Newton would get, what do you think these other guys would get?
$47 million a year.
Like $50 million a year. a certain percentage of ownership of the team. It's ridiculous. I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think Jameis Winston is going to make a lot of money.
What's a lot of money?
Well, I know about Jameis Winston, but
Jameis
Trubisky,
Winston, where's a lot of money for Jameis Winston?
I would say Trubisky, the way he's sort of finished this year after coming back and taking his team to the playoffs. You look at his numbers. He's played pretty well here the last 3 or 4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks. So you see what he looks like. Because, you know, I mean, he goes out there and plays real well here against New Orleans. Well, they play Sunday, I think, at 4. You know, if he looks really well here, and I don't know, maybe Chicago talks themselves into bringing him back. But that'll be the last thing you saw. And, yeah, his price will go up, and he might outprice himself here.
Where does Jameis Winston suddenly get all this money?
Yeah, what did he
based
do?
Based on what?
He's
what did he played. Do this year?
Third string quarterback.
Third string. He's got a It's a different situation.
What's a different situation?
Wait, is it because he got his master's, he gets to make more money?
Yes.
How could he get his master's? Drew Brees was rehabbing most of the season.
Guys, he is going to be a free agent. He actually could possibly get the job in New Orleans, depending what they really think about him.
He was a free agent last year after he threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
And then he, you know what he did? He didn't even allow himself to get into. He just wanted to start all over again. And I hate to say it, but he has the first pick in the draft attached to him, and he's not DeMarcus Russell. He still wants to play. He's still super young. He's got a lot of talent. I still think he's got a ton of raw talent. And he's not in the Bruce Arians offense anymore.
Yeah, so you like him, and that's what this is all about.
What do you think? If somebody, if he's in the free agent market right now, And who do you think – you don't think he's a $5 million – if somebody signs him to be a starter, you don't think he's making $5 million a year?
I don't think, I don't think somebody's going to sign him as a starting quarterback next year.
No, don't get me wrong. $5 million. But when you said make a lot of money, like I just think like –
I don't think
15.
He's going to make $5 million next year. I think he's going to be –
I don't think he's in the $20 million range.
I think he's going to – oh, my God. He's going to be a –
don't think.
He's a $1 million player this year. So he signs on next year – with a team as a backup quarterback with maybe the possibility if the starting quarterback goes down with an injury that he has a good season and then the next year he go make money in free agency.
Well, he's going to be your quarterback, so you better open up your wallet because he's going to want some money.
But if he comes here, he's a backup quarterback.
No, if he comes here, he's a starter.
What?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Jameis Winston is a starter.
If he comes here, he's a starter.
Why are you giving me sign language? Why are you doing that?
I don't feel like you can hear me.
Sign language.
If I try, I do know sign language. Watch. Okay, it doesn't help.
But what have you seen? What have you seen this year that makes you feel any better about Jameis Winston? Oh, hold on. I take it back.
Nothing.
You didn't see him.
Nothing.
The one thing you did not see Jameis Winston throw 30 interceptions this year.
No,
so you have a good feeling about him. He sat on the bench with a freaking clipboard.
He's one of those guys that is wild and that it needs a lot of structure. He doesn't, like, Bruce Arians is not the right coach. Can we all agree on that? Like, that's the last type of quarterback that he needs.
Yeah.
His coach in college had his thumb all over him, okay, all over him, and he gets to the NFL, and he's just like, he's got free range. So, no, I think that if you give him the right amount of structure, like, we're talking Bill Belichick, Harbaugh, Tomlin, there's another. I think any team that has an older quarterback that's going to need a younger one that needs some just rehabilitation, like those guys are going to make money and they're going to make a team and they're going to win games.
I think he's going to be on a team next year as a backup quarterback with an opportunity maybe to play if the starter goes down with an injury. And Cam Newton's probably going to do the same thing. He'll be a backup quarterback if he wants to stay in the league. And he'll go on the premise, he'll go to a team where he feels maybe he's got a shot to beat out the starter, or sometime during the course of the season, he's going to play over the starter. But I wouldn't get too excited about it.
Let's go, Jameis Winston. Line up the duck boats.
I'll take him.
Wow. This hour brought to you by Cars for Kids, your number one charity for car donations. We've been talking about what's going on in D.C. It's been a wild day. Doc Rivers has some strong comments on the violent protest and the storming of the U.S. Capitol today. We've got that for you coming up next with Last Call. Hi, Mutt.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
So brought to you by Cars for Kids. Great time to clean out that garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids. Now offering contact-free pickup. Call today, 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS or online at carsforkids.org. Well, it's been a wild day down in the nation's capital. Doc Rivers can't help but wonder if what we saw today in D.C. would be different if black people had stormed the Capitol.
But what it's not is I keep hearing this attack on democracy. It's not. Democracy will prevail. It always does, Mark. It shows a lot, though. When you saw the protests in the summer, you saw the riots or more the police and the National Guard and the Army, and then you see this and you saw nothing. You know, it basically proves the point about a privileged life in a lot of ways. You know, I'll say it because I don't think a lot of people want to. Could you imagine today if those were all black people storming the Capitol and what would have happened? You know, so that to me is a picture that's worth 1,000 words for all of us to see and probably something for us to reckon with again. You know, no police dogs turning on people, no billy clubs hitting people, people peacefully being escorted out of the Capitol. So it shows that you can disperse a crowd peacefully, I guess, would be the one thing. But it's a sad day in a lot of ways. It's not good for our country, more across the borders that people see this. But it's part of what we are, and so we have to solve.
I think individual people see what they want to see. I'm not sure I agree with them on this thing.
Not at all.
I think if you look back, and first of all, they weren't all black people that were protesting. Most of the Antifa people, many of them were white. And what they were doing is they were destroying buildings, government buildings. So, and I think some people condemned them, but the police didn't do anything at the time. They kind of let them take over a police station. They left a police station in Minneapolis, and they burned it down. I don't think any of that stuff happened. And I agree that what happened today is just as bad as what Antifa was doing in Black Lives Matter, we're doing with the riots in the fall. No question.
It's funny because they tell these guys to get out of here, and they all leave. They listen. They left. They raid the Capitol. They go crazy. I mean, they take in a bunch of stuff.
Didn't Antifa take over?
Once the cops come up, they left.
Well, there was fire inside. Shots fired. One woman apparently that was shot. They just kind of, I saw on social media that she had died. So nobody's identified one of the protesters or what? I have no idea.
Well, we had that happen in Seattle, too, and we were told you got to let those people take over Portland. A neighborhood in Seattle. It happened everywhere. I miss all of the message that he's throwing out there because I think that most people are condemning what happened today. I think he's wrong. I think most people are condemning what happened today.
I'm not
hearing a lot of support with, wow, that was a nice riot today.
Stupid.
Yeah,
that was a nice riot today.
Yeah, not too many people are saying I love the rioters. One person did. One person loves the protesters. What do you call them? Terrorists today. I didn't know you could walk into a state building just like unencumbered. I can walk down with a hashtag legalized sports betting to the mass capital and just walk in.
You have to go home now.
Did you see some of them today wearing like makeup and outfits and whatever? Like they were going to a Patriots game on a Sunday in Foxborough.
I grew up, I stopped, unlike Dale, I stopped watching wrestling a while ago. But as a kid, Glenn, that's what wrestlers look like. That was like a tag team fight between the Bushwhackers and the Legion of Doom in 1987. So
it's still real to me, damn it.
We'll see if the president speaks tonight. If he does, we'll bring it to you. We'll start with some of that, but we need some laughs today. And I think Adam Schefter brought us some laughs this morning on the Greg Hill Show. We'll hear that. And Andy Hart will be in the house to discuss Tom Brady, Cam Newton, and the Patriots beginning at 7 o'clock. Boys, great show.
Adam Schefter's reporting. What?
Hey, you're making us laugh, Schefter, with some ridiculousness today. Thank you.
He doesn't realize he's so good at what he does that we take him seriously, okay? You're taking seriously now, Adam. All right, boys, hopefully it'll be a calmer day tomorrow. We'll do it all at 2 o'clock. We'll see you then.
All right.
Later.
See you, boys.
Good night.
Peace.
go home. We love you. You're very special.